So we've been telling you that people do some crazy stuff, and maybe God's been calling you to do some crazy stuff, which is happening today because it's Baptism Sunday. So who's getting baptized? I don't know. Only you and God know. So we're going to give you an opportunity. We'll see what God has in store. I'm super excited for what I do know and what I don't know. Glad you're here. Thank you for bearing with us. You know, I know there was some of you got parked far away, but you made it in here, so thank you for that. You guys heard this phrase, fake tough, right? Fake tough guys in sports, right? You got to know how to do it. On the basketball court, the fake tough guys, here's what they do. They find a ref, preferably a bigger ref, and somebody's, you know, talking smack, and you go up and you talk smack back to him. You get right behind the big ref, and you point in the guy's face. Right, you say all kinds of smack in his face, and you know the big ref's going to turn and push you back, and you'll, yes, sir, then the ref will like you because you're being compliant. But you had no intention of actually fighting that guy, but you knew the big ref would stop it from happening. So it's fake tough. It's words that are sound tough, and it looks tough if you don't know better from the stands. But if that ref wasn't there, you're going nowhere near that guy, right? We're going to talk today, and this may be a harsh term. It doesn't say it like this in Scripture, but fake faith. Right? Or maybe incomplete faith. And Scripture helps us differentiate between true faith and a faith that the word it'll use is useless. That's God's word, not my word. It gets a little tricky for us because we are a gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement. So if we're centered on the gospel, then we're constantly running away from performance-based stuff. And some of this can sound like, okay, so faith has got to do something. That's where we're going. And it does, but it's not performing to earn anything from God, right? Whoever you are this morning, you didn't have to earn God's love. He loves you because that's who he is, wherever you're coming from, whatever you're bringing into the room. So we're not earning that, but faith has to do something. It can't just sit there. Here's how James said it in chapter 2. Starting in verse 14, he said, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" And he's asking that, implying the answer is no, that there's a faith. I mean, 2 weeks ago, aren't we so blessed, church? Last week, I didn't preach. Raph Gonzalez preached the paint off of this 11 o'clock service. We're so blessed to hear the word each week, no matter who's preaching. But I preached 2 weeks ago, and we talked about being saved by faith. The faith cleanses our hearts. That's so beautiful. But evidently, there's a faith that doesn't save. There's a faith that doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's a faith that doesn't actually show up in real life. This is the faith that our culture is sick of. They've got no more tolerance for this faith that doesn't impact how you live, how you drive, how you vote. Can't say that. Scratch, delete, edit that out. How you treat people, all the things, is a faith that exists that doesn't save you because it's not a faith that does anything. That's not what we're about. It's not what God is calling us to. And it's not about doing just any action. It's not about being baptized as the do. Right? We'll talk about what that represents today and what that means. But it's a faith that does something. James gives us an example. This message and this, what he says, he uses an example about helping out poor people, but it's really about faith. Check it out. Verse 15. He says, "Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food." All right, so somebody you run into has two problems. They don't have food. They don't have clothes. And here's your response. You say to them, "Go in peace. Keep warm and well fed." Or in our context, you might say, "God bless you, brother." But does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it, right? If you've ever been in that place where you don't have clothes, you don't have food, and somebody says, "Stay warm," you know, it's not at all helpful, right? And what's his point? The next verse starts with these huge words, "In the same way," verse 17, "in the same way that you didn't really help that guy, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead faith." Fake faith, dead faith, useless faith, whatever word you want to use. We've got to know the difference between the faith that we're called to and this faith that actually doesn't affect anything. So we talk all the time about these phrases here. We really believe God is leading us to live this out as a church body. We talk about relationship, not religion, transformation, not transaction, training over trying, lifestyle over list, And we're going to spend a little time today on faith over feelings. And those are intentional, the way we say those, because not and over are different words. We don't want anything to do with religion or transactional, like I'm going to do this for you, God, you do this for me. And we don't want anything to do. We want to go all in on relationship and transformation. But the last three, those are not bad words. We want to put something over them. Feelings are from God. You list people. You're okay here. We may look at you funny, but lists aren't bad in themselves. And trying certainly isn't bad in itself. But we want to prioritize these things. So let's talk about faith over feelings. So you guys that follow Jesus, you're going to run into a situation you have already where your faith and your feelings are in opposition. You feel one way, or you feel like you want to go one way, and your faith would call you to go a different way. Right? That's where it gets real. Let me give you an example. I could give you a bunch, but let me give you an example from my life last week. All right, so I'm working on this message last week back here in the green room slash office, whatever you want to call it. And I'm working on this, like, what example, like, by faith. And I'm easily distracted, if you know me. And I'm thinking about what would it look like to give the church an example of living something by faith, choosing faith over feelings. Because the world, the culture is constantly telling you, go with your gut, go with your instincts, which can be some of the worst possible advice, right? Because sometimes our gut and our instincts lead us wrong. I want to choose faith, trust over my feelings. So I'm thinking through all that, and I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know if it was an email or I was on a church or a news website, but something came up about so-and-so is going to be in this year's Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, right? And I thought, oh yeah, swimsuit issue. I used to love that. I haven't looked at that in years. I bet there's a bunch of issues backlogged on the internet. I got some catching up to do. My feeling was that would be fun. That is a what do they call it? A victimless crime, right? A victimless crime. No one will know, right? It's not pornography, technically. I mean, they got some dental floss on, so they're not totally naked, right? And that's where your faith and your feelings, you know, because when you're depending on your feelings, that's where the enemy comes in, and he'll tap into that sinful nature, and we're so self-deceived, right? And there was a lot of lies in that moment. Let me just name a few. I don't have time to go through them all. One, the lies that I was being tempted to believe, and the end of that story is me choosing to trust and not go there, not go to that website. And I'm not saying that so you're proud of me or get a pat on the back. I'm giving you a real-life example of I could go feelings, because it was part of me that I just wanted to look. That would be enjoyable. And the lies that were in my head at the time was, no one will ever know, right? Which may or may not be true. Probably not. One of the lies in my head is, you know, my wife, what she doesn't know won't hurt her, right? One of the, you guys in the married small group, I don't know if they've gotten into that. Maybe the biggest lie ever perpetrated on couples is one spouse thinking anything won't hurt them if they don't know it. It will hurt them even if they don't know it. It's amazing how that happens. Another lie that I was believing was that it wasn't, because it's not technically pornography, then maybe, you know, I can slide that in, right? That is not the standard. The standard is not, porn is not even a word in Scripture, right? The standard is that I would have not even a hint of sexual immorality, that I would not lust after any woman except my wife. Yes, husbands, you can lust after your wife. You're commanded to. Right? So I was believing all these possible lies, and the victimless crime, that's not true, right? Because it's disrespectful to my wife, and even if I wasn't married, it is, you understand, looking at women like that, that's degrading. I'm sinning against them. I am looking at them as if they exist to please me in a sexual way. That is degrading as degrading gets. There's all kinds, but yet in that moment, it was like, hey, I feel like that's what I want to do, And then, because I'm preaching a message on faith over feelings, right, that helped me. Right, what does it look like to trust you in this moment, Jesus? I want to please myself. That's what I want to do. That's what I wanted to do. Just being real with you. I don't pull punches here. You guys know that. That's what I wanted to do. But I chose to trust that God's way and how he's called me is in my best interest, my family's best interest, my church's best interest, that he loves me. He's not trying to keep me from something. That's what it's another lie is that God's trying to keep you from some fun stuff. He's not trying to keep me from anything. He wants to bless me, and he's given me a path towards that blessing. Do you trust that he knows what's best for you? whatever the situation. We could use a bunch of examples. You'll have one this week, probably today, where your feelings would lead you this way and a trust in God would lead you to say something different or do something different. Is it faith over feelings? This is a faith that has actions. All right, so James sets up this argument. He says in verse 18, as someone says, someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. All right, so he's kind of saying there's a faith camp. Hey, I got the faith, you may have the deeds. I got the deeds, you may have the faith. And he's getting ready to knock that down and say, it's not a faith and a deeds camp. The faith of trusting God always is connected to actions, to deeds, to works, to sometimes inaction. Sometimes your faith will call you to not do something or not say something or not go somewhere or whatever. There's a thousand things. We're praying in this series that by faith, fill in the blank, that God will be clear with you, that maybe there's a step that you need to take. And what I found in first service, I think even as I say that, a lot of people know. I don't need to tell you what that is. You kind of know there's something in your life that God is calling you to trust him enough to do something. And that's really fun that I don't have a clue what that is, but God does, and he's excited and able to communicate that to you. We had this blank on the graphic to try to say, hey, something God might call you to. And there's a guy, it was our fourth week of this By Faith series. A guy came up to me after the first week. He said, I already got my blank. And I was like, wow, that was quick. He's like, I know what. He said, tell me. He said, by faith, I'm going to prison. Voluntarily. All right, so he held it right there because he had me too. He's like, I don't think that's what God. But if you guys have been with us the last few weeks, you've been introduced to this beautiful Kairos ministry. So it's a ministry that the guys you're about to meet, Bill and Ray, brought to us. And it's a ministry that just powerful ministry that takes Jesus into prisons. And Bill is one of those guys. And I'm just so proud of our church. So we showed these videos and did announcements the last few weeks, two or three weeks, saying, it's not just Bill and Ray going, it's this week. It's Relentless Church going through them to minister to prisoners. And what we've asked you to do is to be a part of that prayer campaign, which you guys have signed up for. We ask you to bring cookies because they have this whole cookie ministry that's a part of what they do. And I've been in great churches, but I've been in some churches in my life where if they heard the same thing you heard the last few weeks, they'd be like, oh, that's cool, that's sweet. And they might bake a dozen cookies here or there. You know, I was like, and I've been in some churches where their thought would be, wait a second, you're going in prison on behalf of Jesus, and you're going to say Relentless Church. Well, eventually these guys are going to get out of prison. What if they show up here? Who wants a church full of convicts? Well, first service got it correct. The answer to that is Jesus. Jesus wants a church full of convicts. That's who we are. That's who he is. But that, you guys just were so awesome. I asked them today, 100 dozen. So that's over 1,000 cookies that you guys brought in today. That's beautiful. Bill and Ray, you guys come on up. If you came in and saw cookies, you thought, man, this church, the donuts and the cookies are not for you. It's a part of, these guys are going in Wednesday through Saturday, and they're going to be part of a whole team doing this beautiful conference at Central Prison. It's Jesus and gospel-based, and we're going to see God move. And we just had to, as we're preaching about faith and action, right, these guys voluntarily going to prison to be the voice and love of Jesus on his behalf. Yeah. And the way this came about, this wasn't my dream. This was just these guys, hey, do you guys know about this ministry? And we didn't. And the more we got into it, the more, you know, Raph brought it to, it's like, hey, this is us. This is gospel stuff. They're doing beautiful work. And this is the beginning. This time it's two guys. And I know how some of you are like, oh, I want to go with him. You can't, right? You got to go through a lot of training. There's a lot of stuff these guys have been through. You can't this time, but you can in a future time. There's also a women's version of this same ministry. If you got any questions about what they're doing and being a part of it, see them at the table afterwards. But for right now, how can we not pray these guys up to go do what they're about to do? So we're going to do that. If you want to come touch one of these guys, we welcome you. You don't have to. You can stay in your seat if you're more comfortable. We're going to put some hands on these guys and pray up. And please pray through the week. Our prayer is that there'll be have some moments this week where they're going to say, I know somebody must be praying right now. So we're going to put hands on them and give everybody a second if you want to come. If you're touching somebody who's touching one of these guys, that counts. I don't know what verse that is, but... I'm so excited what God's doing. I'm so confident that many of you are going to, we're going to be praying for you one day as you make your trip into the prison. And somebody's got to go first, and it's by faith. Sometimes it's really big things, right? That's a big step. But also, I don't want to forget there's a lot of little things that God calls us to do that nobody's going to, you know, make a big deal about. Maybe nobody will know. Remember when Jesus was teaching the guys how to pray, he said, you know, don't be out on the side of the street praying so everybody hears all your words. He said, instead, go in your closet, and my Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That there's that's just a little step of going and praying, not for anybody to see, and your Father who sees that trust, that faith, will bless you and reward you in that. So big things, little things. I remember we're baptizing so many amazing young people at the end of this service. It's going to be awesome. And one of them is one of my players on my team. So I got a lot of my team here, which is awesome to have you guys here. But I thought I'd tell a high school David story. It's not great. Don't have many I'm proud of. But I got serious about my relationship with Jesus between my junior and senior year of high school, Parkland High School, Mustangs represent. Just felt a call in my life to go into ministry at that age, 16, 17 or whatever, and went back to school that year in the fall of my senior year and just was uncomfortable with my friend group, with, you know, I was just convicted, right? And like, man, this isn't what he's called me to, and nothing again. I wasn't better than my friends, but launches where it all went down. Like, it was ungodly, unholy, the things we talked and joked about that had been no big deal for my whole life. They were just funny. And now all of a sudden it wasn't anybody, it was just God in me saying, no, that's not for you, that's not who you are. So I wasn't ready to like be strong enough to say, hey guys, maybe, because that wouldn't have gone over, who knows. But I felt just convicted in my soul, I need to change lunch tables. Right? They didn't make the news, right? Nobody knew, but I left my friends I'd had since sixth grade. I didn't leave my friends. I left their lunch table. I was still friends with them. I made sure they didn't believe that, you know, I'm better than you, something wrong with you. It's just not where I need to be. And I sat with two other folks that are, funny enough, those two people are still my friends today. That group I left, most of them I hadn't seen since the 90s, right? Except Facebook friends, which we know that's not real. And again, that's a little thing, but it was just how did I know? I just knew. I don't know. I just knew. If you've experienced that, you knew. There's a guy, I just was talking at the coffee, a guy who's getting baptized today. I said, tell me about it. He said, I was praying yesterday, Saturday, and it was the most obvious prompting that I've ever felt from God. I knew that I need to be baptized today. I'm like, wow. And he signed up, and we're gonna do it. So it's just those little promptings, and God is so good. He is so good at communicating. Some of you don't know that God. It is a relationship. That's what we always say. We're not trying to get you to believe something. We're trying to get you to know somebody, because that somebody will get you where he will communicate what you need, and it may be different. Here's where we can go to religion and list. What do religion and list do with this? You know, I mentioned the Sports Illustrated stuff before. Religion and list, they're going to have on the website, here's the stuff you're not allowed to look at, here's the shows you're not allowed to watch, and here's the clothes you're not allowed to wear, right? Here's the reality. This is hard for some of us. The hard reality is there may be a show that does not hurt your spiritual development, and it hurts my spiritual development. So we have a personal God who will speak and communicate to us. He's really good at letting you know. If you ask and care, hey, is this good for my spiritual development? Where do we go wrong? Because you're like, well, you know, if me and Raph are watching the same show and I'm feeling like this isn't good for my soul, and Raph's like, this is the best show ever, right? Does that make me a better Christian? No. The first question is, have we both asked God? A lot of times, two people end up in a different place because one asked God and one didn't. We're living by faith. We're trusting him to guide us in big things, little things. And I'm telling you, where it's at is when you trust him in those little things. When you feel like, I think God's wanting me to make this move or make this decision or leave this, whatever, or start this or stop this. Man, when you step into that and let him lead you down that path, that's where a God who may seem distant to you comes so close and so real. He's really good at being clear when you ask. Little things, big things. Big thing for us as a church is Easter. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a pretty big day. For whatever reason, Christmas and Easter are so different in 2020. 20s in America, in Raleigh, North Carolina. Christmas is still, everybody's so busy, and it's just rush, 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 rush. There are people in your life that would, maybe you invited into our Christmas Eve service, and they said no, that would come on Easter. I've got all kinds of stats to prove that, if you care. But for whatever reason, people that don't know Jesus are much more likely to say yes to an invitation on Easter than they are any other day in the year, which is crazy to me. But it's a big day because we're expecting God to move. So we've been praying this. We're asking God, what do you want for Relentless Easter this year? You know what I'm confident he doesn't want or he doesn't care about is if we set an attendance record. Right? That's not his heart. Oh, boy, we got more people. What he cares about is that people are touched and drawn to him, whoever is here. And we believe that there's somebody in your life, if you're a Christian in this room, that would never answer the phone if I called or a mail in their mailbox, but a personal invitation from you would be the beginning possibly of a huge life change for the rest of their life. So we're asking you to begin to pray about who's my one person. We'll use that phrase. That if God would put one person on your heart that you would invite. And it's not up to you if they come. Don't put the pressure on yourself. But we're going to do a prayer campaign. So you can text this this number, or this, not number, but this word. It's not a word. Give it to me so I can not quit messing it up. Anywhere? Anyone? Hey, pray RC. You got to knock sometimes. Pray RC. That's not a word. If it's a word, perk, that's not a word. Pray RC to 97,000. So it's a 21-day prayer campaign. I think it's real power in us all praying the same thing together. So you'll get a text every morning on your phone, and we'll all be praying the same things for March 10th up to March 31st, which is Easter Sunday. And we think God's going to honor the unity of those prayers and just the trusting him to do what we cannot do on our own. So we're excited about that. We're also going to give you some invite cards starting next week. Sometimes that makes the conversation a little easier for some of you, a little less outgoing. Just a little card to put something in somebody's hand to begin to pray and ask God to move towards Easter Sunday. Big things, little things. By faith, do something, right? Don't be scared by this. You're like, oh, I'm scared of faith because I might end up in prison, right? Voluntarily. It's personal, you know. It's God may call you to that. He may not. But do you trust him that if he calls you to that, it's for your blessing and for someone else's blessing, right? I know that men are going to be blessed this week. I know we're going to hear, I can't wait to hear the stories from Bill and Ray. But I also know Bill and Ray will be different this time next week. They will be blessed because of the faith to trust. I don't know what God's calling you to do. It may have nothing to do with prison. Have you asked? Are you spending time? Are you trusting that there's a God who knows your name and has specifics for you? I want to talk about carbonation a little bit. Didn't you come today to hear a little bit about that? Carbonation, which is not in this water. There is water with carbonation, but I don't know why y'all drink that seltzer water or whatever. What's the point? Like, you're kind of wasting your life if you're drinking that. Too much. So if this was carbonated, if this was a Coke, and I did all this and I opened it up, well, it's going everywhere, right? And why is that? Because there's an ingredient called carbon dioxide that water, drinking water, does not have, but soda does. So I think there's a lot of people frustrated because they're believing in God. They believe there is a God, but they're not trusting God. The trusting is that ingredient that brings everything alive. So I think there's folks that are like, man, there's no power. There's no movement. Nothing's happening. They're like, there's no energy. And like, I don't know. It's not working for me. It's nothing wrong with you. It's not that it's not working for you. It's that you were told a lie that belief matters. Belief does not matter. You do not exist to believe in God, right? I believe in Prince Harry. Right, I believe in him. I don't know him. You know, I don't trust him. I don't know him or trust him. I believe that he exists. And if you stop at that initial stage of believing that God exists, you're going to be real frustrated. You're like, I don't get it. Like, all these people are so excited. They're so full of work. Like, I don't have what they have. It's not that you don't have what they have. It's that what they have comes from a relationship where you trust him. It's a relationship. It's not religion. Religion is built on belief. I believe what you believe, so we're all on the same team. That's not what we're doing. We all know the same Lord Jesus, and he will direct you in the ways he wants to direct you. He'll direct me in the ways he wants to direct me, and it's going to come down to the same thing for you and me. Do we trust him? Do we trust him to let him lead our life? There's going to be folks that are going to get baptized today that are making the statement that they trust God to run and lead their life more than they trust themselves. It is a declaration of of ultimate trust to give themselves to Jesus in that way. If you don't have the carbon dioxide, then just nothing happens. I think there's a lot of people probably across the country that are sitting in church today and like, yeah, I don't even know. I don't know. I just don't feel it, right? Without trust, it's just a routine. It's just a lot of things that we don't want. So faith is what moves you from believing to trusting. We want to, that's what faith is. Faith is moving from, okay, I believe in somebody, to I know and I'm in relationship with somebody. And there's so many folks in our church that would have told you 3 years ago, 7 years ago, I don't know what it's like. I don't even know if I can have a relationship with an invisible God. And they've stepped into that. And as they've stepped into that, they've seen their life change. It's better than I can describe to you. It's not a fairy tale. It's a real thing to know and trust a God who loves you and will direct you and spend time with you and help you in ways that we could talk about all morning. Let me go back to what James said. Here's how he's finished that part. He said, hey, show me your faith without deeds. I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So if you're one of those like, hey, I don't know if I trust God, but I definitely believe in him, right? James is being really sarcastic here. He's kind of being a jerk. He's like, good job. You're right there with the demons. They believe in God, but they don't trust God. That's where it's at, right? So a lot of folks today are making that decision to progress. There's belief is a start, right? You got to believe that he exists to lead you to the place of trust. And over again in Scripture, we see when someone decides to trust Jesus with their life, to trust that what he did was real, that it wasn't for the world, it was, but it was for them specifically, to trust that something happened with my sin before I was born on the cross, that my sin was covered and removed. I was forgiven and free because Jesus took that for me on my behalf. When you trust that he did that. And then there's a lot of religious figures through history. Only one of them had the combo of claiming they were the Son of God and then defeating death. So when he rose from the dead, he separated himself from every other figure in history. So baptism, because he knows we're visual, it's this beautiful picture. Jesus was on the cross. He was buried, fully dead. When he rose again, everything for you, for me, for the world changed. Now we have somebody who's bigger and more powerful than death. He must be who he said he was. Who did he say he was? The Son of God. God in a human body coming to save us. So baptism is a picture of our death, figuratively, right? There's an elementary girl that came. She was thinking about being baptized. She came to me a few weeks ago after the service when we said this was going to be Baptism Sunday, and she said, exactly how long do you hold people under? That's like, not long enough to worry about it. But we're not killing anybody today, but it is a figurative death. What'd I say? Or ever. You guys that help me, you got to come to first service because they don't correct me and I don't even know what I said. Ever. That's never on the agenda. The visual of a person, we're getting ready to see this. So if you've been baptized, you don't have to know this. It might be a total stranger, you've never met them, but you celebrate in somebody making the declaration that I'm giving up control of my life. I'm dying to myself. I'm coming up out of the watery grave as a new creation where I am trusting God with everything, with my eternity, with my salvation, with my future, with my occupation, with my relationships. I trust, my trust is in him. Not perfect, got a lot to learn. We all do. But that's a beautiful statement of trust, not of belief. Baptism is a pledge of trust, not belief, right? If somebody comes up today and is like, I want to be baptized because I believe in God. It's like, no, right? It's not a pledge of a belief. It's a pledge of trust, right? And it's a beautiful pledge that we get to witness today. So we're going to celebrate that. Here's how it's going to go. We're going to sing, worship team's going to lead us in a song called Trust in God. And as this song starts, that's your cue. So everybody, yeah, let me be real clear. As the music starts, the first note you hear, you can get up and go to the back of the room, my left, your right. You guys that know you're being baptized, or you're like, well, I think I might supposed to be baptized today, but I didn't let anybody know. You're on the list. You're on God's list. Like, but I didn't bring any clothes. We got clothes for you. Well, what about the undergarments? We've done this before. We got your undergarments. Well, what about grandma would want to be here and grandma's not here? We got these things. They're awesome. We got these video recorders where we can record it. And I promise you, grandma will say, you listen to God, and I'll be thrilled to watch it later, right? So we got all that covered. So if God is speaking to you, then whoever you are, we'd love to meet you in the back, and we're going to get these guys changed. If you're in the room, then we just want you to begin to use this song to maybe figure out what would God be calling you to trust him with that is really hard for you to trust him with right now. He's really good at communicating to that if you got an open heart and mind. But as these guys lead us, if today is your day to place your trust in God through baptism, I want you to meet me in the back of the room, and then we'll come back after the song and celebrate baptisms together. Let's do it. I told them not to go till the first note, so somebody's got to like hit a note, something. There we go.
Saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. never fail.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for always being there for us, Lord. Thank you.
Check one, check two. All right, so we've got a few folks changing. We got some people that knew they were going to be baptized, and some people that didn't know they were going to be baptized today. So I told you we were getting them changed. So we're going to do it. We're going to do it this way today. We have everybody come on up front. We're going to do your repeat after me part together. So you guys come on up front that are getting baptized. Yeah, lead the way. You can use that mic. All right, we got one more coming, so we'll wait on her. All right, so these stories are amazing. I wish we could take all day, and each of these stories is so unique and beautiful. Yeah, come on up, join us, Sierra. It's okay. Yeah, you got time. So I'm just going to ask you guys, again, you're not saying this to the church, you're not saying this to me, you're saying this to God. If this is your true heart, just repeat after me, that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I trust him as my Lord and Savior. All right, beautiful. All right. You guys can step to the side, and we'll go one by one, starting with Kendall. Go ahead, Ref.
Yeah, so, yeah, if y'all want to, yeah, you can step on that side. And I'm going to pass a microphone to Mackenzie Jackson here, who is Kendall Milligan, our first young lady being baptized. This is her small group leader. Mackenzie's got a few words to say.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm trying not to, like, scream and holler. But I have been with Kendall in youth group the past year. I am just so proud of her and the sister in Christ that she is. I had a couple things just to share on her behalf. She's been asking a lot of questions about baptism and has been pondering it since last fall and has been asking, God, when? When should I do it? Like, I want to make sure the timing's right, right? And she's saying she was praying about it, and when Pastor David mentioned it a few weeks ago, it really hit her that it was time to make that public declaration. So I am so, so excited to be here today to witness her public declaration.
Come on in, Kendall. I'm going to have you hold that because my hands are going to get wet.
Yes, absolutely.
Next up, my man Ralph, come on down. Ralph, do you want to say a few words on your behalf?
Hey, y'all, I just want to say a few shout outs. First, I want to thank God for bringing me here. You know, a couple years ago, I wouldn't think I ever would have been here, but by the grace of God and by cool families like the Helfricks and the Joneses, I started coming here on Wednesday nights, and it's been really nice and really fun, and I've really grown a relationship with him. And then earlier this last fall, Phil got me thinking, like, hey, do you ever think about being baptized? I was really struggling with my relationship with God, and I said, you know, I've been thinking about it, but I don't know if I'm ready yet. So Raph a few weeks ago was like, hey, we have a baptism Sunday coming up, and I was like, yeah, we could do it. We could do it, yeah. Sounds good to me. And we here, and I'm so excited and so ready, and I want to thank this lovely church, all you lovely people. You've always been so welcome and so kind to me, and it's just been a true honor and a blessing. So I just want to thank you all. And shout out to my dad. Love you, Dad.
Awesome. Ralph, I'm asking to get up on in there. I got Phil. Oh, yeah. Phil, you want to say a couple words? Oh, no, you're good. I got Phil and Alex, who are some of our youth leaders who serve with us on Wednesday nights. Ask Ralph, who do you want to baptize? You get to pick. You're not going to hurt nobody's feelings. He said, I want all three of you. I want all three of you to dunk me. I'm like, all right, we'll do it, man. We got this. So we're going to surround them, and we're going to dunk them.
We didn't have a batting order, so it looks like the sisters. Come on, sisters, whoever's first. This is Georgia. Finally got it right. Been practicing all week. All right. So Georgia and her sister Gabby and their mother Anne Marie have been with us for a few months. They kind of found Relentless accidentally, but we won't tell that story. But these amazing young ladies, if you've gotten coffee, then you've known them, because they just jumped in serving as our baristas. But Anne Marie and these girls, when they were in elementary school, moved here from Nigeria, and we're so blessed that they found Relentless. And they both the girls just said this was right. This was the time for them to take their next step. So, Georgia, because of your trust and faith in Him, I'm going to baptize you in the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Come on up here, Gabby. Her name's Gabriella. I said, well, once I say your name in front of the church, you're stuck with it. So she said, go with Gabby. We'll go with Gabby. Trust in Him that it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's death, burial, resurrection. May help you. Keisha Waters. Yeah, you can sit. So I just got to hear a little bit of this story this morning. I said, am I okay to share it? She said, there's no shame. She really made a decision to come to Christ in 2021, so almost 3 years ago. And the way that happened was through the murder of her husband. And if you're going through some stuff, it's amazing how God can show up in the worst. And she would tell you face-to-face that her testimony is of God coming to her in the worst. So we're so glad that He found you, you found Him, and you found us. And it's my privilege to baptize you this morning, Markeisha, in the name of the Father God and Son Jesus and in His Holy Spirit. Come on up, Larry. This is Becca Hartzell. So good to have her and her family here with us today. Wearing your socks, huh? Okay. She's a sniper. I call her Larry. She's like, why do you call me that? I'm like, because you remind me of Larry Bird. And she said, is that a compliment? I said, I think it is. But as fun as it's been to coach you, it is so much more of a joy for me to get to be part of this. And Becca has known God for a long time, many years. And something in the last 6-8 months, she told me, it's just shifted and ready to trust, not believe, but really trust and put her life in God's hands. So we're so excited to get to enjoy this with you today. So I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Chaz Glenn. Oh, you don't need no help. Okay. You don't need no help. Go on and slip. You also might know Chaz's face because he helps us out in the coffee area, taking care of us. And this was, I don't know if you're in here. I was talking about you. He's the one that told me this morning that this was yesterday. He just knew that this was his next step. So Chaz, that trust is so beautiful, so inspiring to us. So we're so honored to get to share in this moment with you. I'm going to baptize you in the Father, Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Death, burial, resurrection. So not least, this is my brand new friend, Sierra. Sierra did not come to church planning on being baptized today. We can baptize in jeans. Love it. So I didn't even get a chance to talk to you. Do you have anything you want me to say on your behalf or you want to say? I'll give you the... Okay, she said she's ready to trust in God. So thank you for being willing to respond in a moment of faith. So that trust you'll never regret. So we count it a privilege as your church family to get to share in this moment with you and walk with you going forward. So I'm going to baptize you, Sierra, in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's death, burial, resurrection. I know we're a little late, and you better not care. What a beautiful day. We're gonna pray for you guys if you're still in the room. If you guys want to come up, we're going to pray out, and then we'll take a picture of you all after we dismiss. We like to do that. So if you've been baptized today and you're still in the room, we'd love for you to come up here in your pretty towels.